This is QuakeCast 64. It's been a long time since we've had an episode of the QuakeCast, but I've always wanted to have Shades Master as a guest. Shades is involved in a bunch of different projects, both for Quake, Hexen, Heretic, Hexen 2, and all kinds of top secret stuff we can't even talk about. So I'm not going to blather on. Let's get to the interview. Well, Shades Master, welcome to the QuakeCast, and we always ask our guests this question. How did you get into, I guess you had been into gaming way before Quake, so how'd you get into gaming?
Oh, that was way back. My dad got me an Atari computer, of all things, and there was a game like called Mr. Robot on it, and that actually had a level editor, so I actually was able to make these side-scrolling really simple levels, and then there are other things like Alien Breed, Lode Runner, and that had a level editor too. And the Amiga was another big thing with, you know, Project X and Team 17 and Alien Breed and all those games. And then not long after that, the 486 came into play. And on there came Doom, came Heretic. I remember both those games when I was like 8 and 9. My dad took me to Egghead Studios in Comac, which is a place in Long Island, New York. And I saw the demo of Heretic running, and then that's where he got those shareware games from. And that's how I got into first-person games, yeah.
So then did you make maps for Doom way back then?
No, I didn't start delving into mapping until the late 90s. I remember having grid paper and actually drawing like a very tiny picture of a cacodemon or this or that. And then there was like a Doom 2 strategy guide that came out that had I forgot what it was called, but it initialed the monsters like HK for Hell Knight, I for Imp. And then I started drawing letters where I wanted, and I just drew things on grid paper, and I didn't actually make levels. And then I got DEU and HEU, and I fiddled around a bit but never released anything. Same deal for Quake.
Right, yeah, that was kind of the same way. I would download some of those editors. Mainly none of I don't even recall if there were DOS ones. I think there were, I'm sure there were, because they were pretty early on, but yeah, I only messed around, and I think it was Doom Ed, if I remember correctly, is the one.
Kind of recall that. Yeah.
Let's jump forward into time. And, you have your hands in a lot of different projects. Kind of walk me through what you've been involved with recently and what you're working on.
Okay, yeah. So there's a few big things. I mean, I'm helping my brother with Slayer's Testaments, brother being Bloodshot 12, and the final version should be coming out soon, hopefully. mapping is done. He just has a few more coding things, and a lot of playtesting left. So Slayer's Testaments is a big one. Mjolnir, Quake Mjolnir, I've been making maps for. In fact, right before this podcast, I was converting some Heretic maps, which I had made the architecture for. I have most of episode one. E1M6 is Troynans, another great community pillar, by the way. But all the others are conversions done by me based on references, you know, from, you know, the Raven software maps. And then, you know, like half of Heretic episode 2, and then like a custom level for it that's like the end piece.
Wow.
So that I'm doing double duty, because those maps will appear both in Slayer's Testaments and Mjolnir, but the gameplay is so different, and the audience may be different in a lot of cases, as like, you know, a fresh experience regardless.
Nice. That's a kind of interesting concept. The same maps for two different mods. That's pretty crazy. But yeah, the gameplay is totally different. I was going to say it's got to be totally different, although I've not played Mjolnir yet, but I've seen enough to know.
Yeah, like think of Drake, think of, you know, Keep, think of those mods and stuff, and that's, you get a feel for what Mjolnir is going to be. And then some, yeah.
Yeah, and I know you can't comment on when that's coming out, but I know something, I don't know if a demo or something's coming soon, so hopefully the audience will get a taste of that.
Yeah, for sure. Another big project I was working on is Hands of Necromancy, which is basically GZ Doom Engine. It's its own game, headed by a guy named Emmanuel EXE, and that's actually been out for a little bit. Not only that, but there's an expansion pack coming too. The official one, which I already made 3 maps for, that was awesome. That was a paid project. I mean, not much money, but, you know, basically making Doom Engine levels with 3D floors and everything. Think of Hexen, think of Heretic, but it's a completely new thing.
I probably saw this on Twitter. I'm looking at the screenshots. That's awesome. I had no idea you were involved in this. Dark Fantasy first-person shooter, Metroidvania, similar to Heretic, made GZ Doom. That's cool. Yeah, GZ Doom, the gift that keeps on giving, right?
Pretty much, yeah. So the progression in that game is a lot like Hexen, but simpler. But even then, some people might find it a little bit tough. But there's guides and stuff, and it's a lot more hand-holding as compared to Hexen. But then the expansion packs are just going to be straight-up sequential level like Heretic to make it even easier, you know?
Gosh, anything else you're working on? I mean, I know of one other one you might be working on.
Well, there's right now. I mean, I'm not that kind of sort of. I mean, I just finished working on it. Like, it's been since 2013, but Despair, which for Heretic, which you've played recently. Yeah. So that was like a bunch of levels I made 2013, 2014, including one level that was a Bard map. There's this thing called Elemental Showdown that was cut from a thing called H-Pack, which I was working on, but I might get involved with again. It's like a bunch of Heretic maps. So yeah, so Despair uses his own resource pack, and I recently did some fixes, like, and I have two additional maps made just really recently, the Ex-Arch's Keep and Darklands, and I have Saberclaw variants called Hellwasps, and they fly around and shoot the Hellstaff's Tomed effect, so they shoot red rain, things that explode and drop red rain to AoE.
So back up a little bit. So yeah, are those things that you've been able to code, or those are things that you kind of like progs dump where you change out the resources? How does that work?
Oh, I actually know my way around GZ or Z-Doom's Decorate code, unlike Quake C, which I don't really know my way around. But Decorate code, I actually do know, I'm not super good in it, but I know my way around it, where I could look at something that I could make my own monster in code, in actual code. Nice. In Decorate in the GZ Doom engine.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that, but that sounds awesome.
I should really learn Quake C, because I feel like it's a order of magnitude more than Decorate, but I understand things like how the code would point to animation ranges and stuff like that. So
yeah, oh, Quake C's fun. I mean, I never thought I could code, and never thought I would code, and I've definitely coded things from scratch, but very, very simple things. So, but I've learned so much, I encourage people, if they've never, even if they've never coded before, to try it. Cause honestly, if I can make something and do something, anybody can. And especially if you have coding anyway, that we're getting off topic. Sorry. So wow. And that's not even like, I thought you were going to say Sacrilege. I forgot. You have a whole, a five map episode for Heretic, and gosh, anything else?
Well, I will mention Sacrilege in a moment, cause that's using your mod. So that's a big thing, but there's actually a thing. I know I'm going back to 2009, but I'm actually going to remake a remastered version. So I have a Hexen map set, actually two of them, called Necrosis for Hexen, I made back before I had my glasses, so I had a different screen name. Yeah, but then it was called Necrosis for Hexen, and then the more recent one, Shades of Darkness. And what I'm going to do is, Necrosis was great, but there are some things that bug me nowadays, like, oh, if the player's below 30 health, I make them slow down, which actually doesn't work too well. But there are things I like the Hexen Centaur, how they raise the shield whenever you hurt them. That's annoying, right? So what I do is that they only raise their shield and protect themselves as they're attacking, which is a lot more fluid, because when they get hurt, they don't raise their shield. So I have that code bit that gets changed. And that's something I like, something I want to keep. So I'm going to merge those two WoWs into Necrosis Remastered and have the dynamic lighting and stuff like that, modern GZ Doom things, but still be very much a classic experience, and just re-release the reanimated, rather. Necrosis Reanimated is kind of a pun. So
nice.
And as a brief aside, before I talk about Sacrilege, I will mention the mod back in the day, one of the big ones, a Doom 3 mod called Hexen Edge of Chaos. Have you ever heard of that one?
Oh, yeah. And I definitely played it. It was years ago, but yeah, definitely played it.
Yeah, the first level, again, that was before I had my current screen name. But so if it was a Credenium Red out there, that was anywhere. If you saw that anywhere, that was me. I'm not sure if you did. But the first level was mostly mine. The guy named Bloodrain at the time added things like interiors to the houses. But the basic layout, the basic, you know, flow was I'd say the map was 80-90% mine, pretty much. I remember making all those curved castle areas in the one edge of the map, like with the patches and stuff. I do like the Quake 1 method of, you know, doing it better with the funk details, I'll be honest.
What keeps you going with all these projects? Do you get bored and you just want to move on? Because you don't seem like you're scattered or that you're spread too thin. You're definitely accomplishing things and getting things playable and in a good state, you know, where a lot of people, I see this all the time. I'm guilty of it. A lot of people start a project and then lose interest in it. And that's just normal. But you seem to actually finish stuff and get it done. So How does this come up? Like you're working on Despair, and then you kind of change gears and go, oh, I want to do like a speed map or a jam or something in Quake. And then you kind of jump over to Slayers. I mean, have you mapped recently for Slayers Testaments?
Somewhat in the past month I have, yeah. But pretty much I'm not making any new maps for it because all my mapping honestly is done between us. I'm just waiting on Bloodshot to test things right now. Right. I recently went back and Macon released his new textures with the roads and stuff. And I have that map in Slayer's Testaments that's based upon the Speed Copper speed map. That was a whole thing based on a dream where I was under an overpass and stuff. So those broken textures, those broken like stone textures, I replaced with the actual roads and stuff. So it's a lot better now.
So you kind of are like George Lucas. You go back and, yes, and play with your creations after the fact.
Exactly. That's cool. I made that analogy myself. Like in Despair, the version I gave you from the version that a guy named Spectre on YouTube, by the way, good stuff. He plays a lot of H-Zone maps, D-Zone maps. For his version of Despair, I forgot to remove what's called an X-Arch, which is like a Hirishi arc that flies and is a boss monster because I made him stronger. Mm-hmm. But I forgot to remove him in one area of the first episode. He's only supposed to be a one-time boss in the one map. So for your version, I just did that fix, and I just fixed a handful of misaligned textures, like two or three in other maps. Pretty much I call it George Lucasing. I'll change something, even something minor, like one misaligned texture I see. I'll re-release something just for that change. I don't expect people to play it over again, of course, but there's an order to the chaos, you know? It's like I go from I'm like the general's mindset, by George, I'll get things done, you know, that kind of thing. But it's like how I work out, pretty much. I do it in circuits. So I'll actually do one muscle group. I have almost no break. Instead of just sitting around on my phone or whatever, if I'm in the gym, I like to maximize my time. I'll do like three burpees and then go to something else to work a completely different muscle group. Like, I don't like wasting time. So it's like, okay, if I'm at work or something, walking somewhere, that's like my off time. Part of it's my off time from the computer. If I go running, it's my off time from the computer, and I'm still taking in the environment, being aware of my surroundings. And in doing so, that's extra inspiration. So when I'm actually mapping, there's no, or very little at least, waste of time thinking like, what do I make this area look like? I take off running pretty much when I go mapping. So even if it's like a slower hobby of mine where it's like, oh, it's not like a competitive laser tag or competitive Quake death match, I still try to be efficient about it. So there's never wasted time. I just have more, as much as I make stuff for things, I always make sure I have more ideas than I'm actually producing. So I'll never run dry or waste time.
You seem really fast too. I watched you on stream the other night and you were making quite a lot of, I mean, you were mainly working on gameplay at that point. I think you had done the Geo before I came in, but yeah, you kind of rip through that stuff. And I know that you have workarounds and shortcuts and things where you use like, I mean, I don't want to out you, but I mean, BSP, no, WAD to map or whatever to take Geo from.
Oh, Doom. No. That's just for reference. What I do is I'll use a WAD to BSP for like, say, my Heretic maps. There is like, that's just an overall reference. And that's in addition to opening the game and seeing the map and or screenshots or whatever. That's to get an idea of the scale. I know I have to change it. But no, when I do that, that's just to, that all gets deleted. I remake it from scratch because you need to do the proper funk details, funk detail walls, funk illusionaries, funk detail illusionaries. Because it's really silly. If I could just compile the map that way, but it's very sloppy, takes a while. Whereas, you know, my maps typically compile in like 3 minutes. That's about it. Just 3 minutes.
Wow. Oh yeah. So do you have it side by side, or are you kind of like deleting it as you go? Like, okay, here's this section. I'm going to build it or do you use layers and trench broom? How do you do that?
I actually rarely use layers, believe it or not. My layers essentially are like a funk detail, like the entire room, like any angled bit that's like part of the outer walls, but not the outer walls, a part of it is a funk detail. A funk detail wall I'll usually use as a pillar. Or like a, what do you call it? Or like a support beam stuff. Those end up being funk detail walls. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the angle, if you get a room with an irregular shape, like not square rooms, like those, the big strokes are funk detail. So right. Like, yeah, so I only use, it's actually way more tedious to remake a map exactly like how I do with the Heretic maps. Mm-hmm. So it's like WAD to BSP. To me, that's all extra steps because all that stuff gets deleted anyways. My philosophy is like, okay, do what's needed. I'll get the details in, but there's some maps that have way more detail than mine, and some maps that are also huge and have way more detail than mine, like Oxy Black Fortress, and I could imagine how long that took to make. So my maps, as you've noticed already, like some areas have more brushwork than others. Like the area that I ripped from my Quake conversion to Heretic, which, by the way, I'm not taking the BSP to map stuff. That's just, that doesn't work. That's just reference to build in the first place. That area that made you think of Heretic was actually taken from what I've already made, almost like a prefab. From the Heretic dock. So I just have that one half. I added a new stairwell going up on the side. Got rid of the dock section, added that curved structure that you saw.
No, I don't think it's a bad practice. I just think it's fascinating because you're bouncing around from game to game and you're able to take resources and recreate them fairly quickly. That's the impressive part. Because I remember I worked at night and it was the early part of my career when I started Quake mapping. So I was always looking, much like you, to try to be efficient and just take, I don't want to say shortcuts, but take methods that I was familiar with, like, you know, building a Doom, quick Doom thing and then bringing it into Quake. So I did that as well. But I, in my opinion, I should have just learned how to map better, you know, and then get faster. So, but you don't seem to have that problem. You're actually getting it done, which is great. That's really cool.
Yeah. That comes from the fact that I remember until recently, I was working like three jobs and stuff, my overnight job and other jobs during the day. And this was still a reason when I was working on Slayer's Testament. So I was still getting some things out there. But if you noticed, I think I've actually increased my output recently. Cause right now I have just my one regular job, which is overnight. And I occasionally get paid to make video game maps, nothing much, but Hands of Necromancy pay me decent. I mean, not. I wouldn't say it's good. I mean, just making a Doom level is an indie game, so I'm not expecting much out of it. It's still a passion project, either way you look at it. And my own mission pack, oh yeah, that's other projects I'm working on too. My own mission pack for Hands of Necromancy, not the three levels I did for the existing one, but my own, I have another three levels done for that, and I'm going to make a few more levels, and I have that outlined. Yeah, that's what I do. I have a basic outline, basic idea for where I want to go. Occasionally I may draw something out, but when I actually map, it's just like right there. I use my texture choice. I rarely block out because it's my texture choices that I've predetermined that end up determining what I want it to look like and how and exactly how. Like somebody called it architecture in one of the Doom World Forum, rather, a few years back. And that's totally accurate because it's like the textures I use determine what the architecture ends up looking like and even the bigger strokes, the overall shape of the arena. So my blocking out involves textures. Like I'm going to use a cliff texture, the cliff texture I know I want to use, and that determines my other color strokes and what I'm doing with the rest of the map.
Your stuff in Slayer's Testaments that I've seen, you know, I popped in a few levels. I mean, like we talked about earlier, I played two, three levels this morning and a level the other day. And it's kind of fun, those Doom ones that you did. Correct me if I'm wrong. They're not like one, they're definitely not one-to-one on Doom. They're kind of more inspired by the Doom maps, right? So, and I'm talking about old Doom.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the classic maps. Yeah.
The classic maps. Yeah. So those are really fun. And, the one I played, and I did watch a couple videos earlier this week just to make sure I knew what was, you know, the whole breadth of what I was getting into here, because there's no way I could play everything you've done recently in a week.
No, it's but, not at this point. It's impossible. Yeah, it's too much at this point.
So, oh wait, so do you have a count? Like, do you? I lost count of my maps, but it's in the low. Under 20, I'm sure. It's probably 12, 15 maps total since I've been back. Well, not including Prague's Dump. I have a lot of sample maps I made.
You're talking about through all games? That's going to be quite a bit. Yeah. I have the seven maps for Heretic. I have like five maps just for Necrosis for Hexen. I have a standalone Riverwood Village, which is one of my first release maps in 2009 when I first actually started releasing stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a lot of
no,
stuff.
No, you don't have to count. Yeah. I'm joking around.
I actually have a way to keep a rough track of it because I actually did recently count how many Slayer's Testaments maps there are all together. There's five episodes of classic maps, so six levels between five episodes, except for one of them isn't mine. One that was Marky Music, actually, that I think there might be another one too. But then there's another classic episode, another six maps coming. So that's 6 times 6 right away, 36, wow, 34 of just classic maps. In general, I tend to keep the details relatively doomy and simplistic compared to even like my other works that tend to use Tintin and Macon for those type of, you know, Doom 2016, Doom Eternal type things, you know. Those tend to be a little bit more complex, of course. I have all of Act 3, 7 maps. I have 2 episodes of Repent campaign, which you don't even have. That's coming. That's like 6, another 12 levels. Well, one was from somebody else, so 11 maps. I'd say right now, of my own maps that are out there in some way, shape, or form, you can count Hex and Edge of Chaos. The estimate might be off, but probably 100 levels. Oh, snap maps too. Yeah, I have a good amount of Doom snap maps, and those count as maps, especially if you do custom geo, because you still got to do encounters. You still got to make sure your map doesn't soft lock, all that stuff. I have standalone contributions for various Doom 1 projects, like Jamal Jones was the thing that came out. I have a level for that. There's like the episode 3, I forgot it was like Imperfect or something, episode 3. I have Rebus Steps for another Doom project. It's almost like the Doom projects have jams too, in a sense. So I have standalone maps just for those jams and standalone Quake map jams. So I'd say about 100 maps. Slayer's Testament has 170 maps. Some of those aren't mine, but a good percentage of those are. Probably more than 100 maps, in all honesty.
That's crazy, man.
I could really go through and and get a real number at some point. Not now. But yeah, just for my own personal reference.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I wanna go back and look at some of my old maps, because I, you know this. You've heard me say this offline, but like, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at in my mapping, you know, and my mapping skill set, and definitely my output. But, you know, I had this kind of huge progs dump project that really, I took a left turn in my stuff. So, it's good. It's great in a lot of ways, because I'm never going to stop mapping. I mean, and you know, my eyes are going, I'm 55 years old, but I foresee being mapping for many, many years until I can't see anything.
LASIK. My dad got LASIK. He doesn't even use glasses anymore. He used to have glasses, not anymore though.
But and I'm actually more healthy than I was when I started all this stuff. I lost weight, and I work out a lot, and
nice.
I'm eating much better. So I'm trying to take care of myself so I can map. But Progs Dump, I had a goal. I didn't get everything done that I wanted done. A lot of people helped me get it over the finish line. And so in my opinion, I'm done with that. You know, I'm involved, but I'm finished with the heavy lifting. But now I want to use it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So not to advertise my own project, but
absolutely.
You came out with a really cool demo for Sacrilege a couple months back. I don't know how long ago it was. It was a while back, but, it was really fun. You are using Progs Dump the way I envisioned people using it. You're making custom monsters and especially bosses or mini bosses and things like that. But you really went nuts and made a bunch of monsters. So you want to talk about that aspect of Sacrilege, or just talk about Sacrilege in general?
I do, because that's why I saved it for last, because that, and including the Love Labyrinth map I made, which is very much like, pretty much like a separate standalone map in the tune of Sacrilege, because it also uses Progs Dump 3. That's why I say it for last, because it's like where our things bridge over. It's like, hey, I want to use Progs Dump, because Sacrilege originally had the concept a few years back when I was also first working on Slayer's Testament. So originally I envisioned that as like a thing for Arcane Dimension. But it's like, you know what? Now Progs Dump exists and is gaining more features. Like, you know what? This is, on the one hand, close enough to vanilla, like regular Quake, where it's like familiar, but also enough new where it could be interesting too. And I realized, hey, I could make it have a mission pack 1 and 2 feel, which I kind of like. And not minor spoiler, when you play my Mjolnir episode 3, not the Heretic Master, like the official episode, it'll feel like a mission pack plus experience also, and, you know, jump boots and stuff. Nice. So, yeah, I've been using jump boots a lot in a lot of mods. So when I make Sacrilege, the demo, it's like, okay, I have ideas for monster variants, and it's very much in tune to how I've been doing custom monsters through the GZ Doom things, like variants and stuff. And it actually works really well. And actually something I wish Slayer's Testaments has, because we have a custom mod, which would be great to bridge things over again, because Slayer's Testaments has a custom monster entity, like a new entity just called Custom Monster Custom. And then you put everything like the animation fuels and this and that. And what if I wanted to, say, just create a quick variant of the of an existing imp and not have to like re-declare animations, just add modified things. Having more inputs instead of just like increased health, like Prog's Dump would be useful. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, in Prog's Dump, if I wanted more variant to create a completely new monster, dragging the custom monster entity from Slayer's Testaments into Prog's Dump, that would be lit too. So you could have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I would. I mean, no promises, because again, I'm finished with Prog's Dump. But I know there are other people. There's at least two people, three people doing code work based on Prog's Dump 3. Can't talk about
specifics. I don't want to
talk about other people's projects I don't know 100% of what's going on, but one of the projects is vast. It's really cool, and I cannot wait for people to check it out. I think it's going to make a giant splash, and I was really honored that they even chose Prog's Dump, because they didn't have to. They could have done copper or what have you, but just wait till the summer.
It's an exciting time.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. But I really liked what you did with Sacrilege, because it's a demo. You kind of just got your feet wet, and it's totally playable and fun. And I was just delighted to play it. So let's talk about what you want to see for the future. Like what are some of your dream projects that you want to
complete
that you haven't even started on yet?
Oh yeah. I'm going to definitely have to get into that. Yeah. I want to just make one more mention of Sacrilege and stuff. It's like, okay. Yeah. Like for the final version, I do want to have like a custom branch of it where I like compile additional things. So like the final version might have jump boots. It won't be as crazy as Mjolnir and stuff like that with like the amount of content it has, but it's like, mm-hmm. It'll have additional things like the jump boots. I do want, like, you know how the mission packs had new weapons and stuff. I just want basically for each episode, like a new plasma based weapon. So the first episode would be the hypnotic laser, say. Mm-hmm. The second episode would be the Mjolnir hammer. And the third episode would be like the rogue plasma gun. And that's just per episode, you get the separate weapon. And maybe like an unlimited ammo weapon for your first slot. So The first episode would be some kind of laser pistol. Second episode would be the Drake wand. And fitting with base medieval runic. Those are the three episodes of Sacrilege, 5 maps each. That's the plan for that one. Including the maps that were released, but those, if I'm going to re-release those, they're going to be heavily changed. I already did a mirror image dealing with them, but I'm going to add more areas, maybe possibly change battle order. I know the underwater area in the base level is going to get a lot of changes. It's going to use your water sound with, you know, the trigger push. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a more elaborate thing by itself when Sacrilege does come out. So there's Sacrilege, there's Keep, there's all the mobs I'm trying to finish. There's my Wrath Aeon of Ruin, my own custom unofficial expansion pack for that too.
Nice.
That's another thing, yeah. And I already started mapping for that, but I only do it bits and pieces. I might cop out and do Quake 1 format, because getting the Quake 3 compiler set up is a hassle. Plus, you know, you don't have like the smooth lighting and stuff like that when you compile. Plus, compiling in the Quake 3 format just takes a lot longer in general, I find. Which is one of the factors why it's getting delayed for a while, because if they just did it in Quake 1 Valve format, the game probably would be a little bit quicker.
Are you doing, when you're making stuff for Wrath, are you doing Trench Broom, or are you using Radiant?
You know, Trench Broom, yeah. Gotcha. I've done Radiant in the past. I used Doom Edit for Doom 3 when making Hex and Edge of Chaos, but lately I've just been gotten really attached to Trench Broom.
Sure, yeah. I mean, everyone knows I am too. Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back, and I remember Doom Edit. I only made one little map for Doom 3 multiplayer. It was Quake 4. It wasn't Doom. But anyway, basically the same technology.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I made a little map for a buddy of mine. And it was fun. I liked it. It was really cool to kind of just jump right into the editor from the game and go back and forth. That was so cool. No, not really much compiling, you know, just really quick compile for the BSP, I guess. That stuff's fun. I mean, I could talk mapping all day long, basically. Yeah. So beyond what you've already started on, is there something you haven't started on that you're dreaming
about?
Yes,
there is. Like, you know how there's an entire code base for Bloodshot and I, and that we have thanks to Slayer's Testaments. A lot of it's his original code. I guess some of his code is borrowed from other Quake things. Like, obviously, we have Funk Lasers and stuff now, which are like from Alkaline and all that, just like Prog's Dump is Funk Lasers. Mm-hmm. He has arc vials that resurrect monsters, but it's actually not even a new thing anymore, because I've seen other mods where monsters resurrect in Quake. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing is, we want to start our own. I can't discuss too much what it's going to be about, but we want to make our own. It's going to be a brand new game, the Quake Engine. We didn't make any official company or anything like that. It would be a family thing for sure. Bloodshot, myself, my sister is like a creative head in it, you know, that kind of thing. We've had the idea for a while. We wanted to do Dark Places, but seeing how Wrath, Dark Places in retrospect, I think slowed down Wrath, I think I would rather do it in FTE and do Quake 1 Valve format stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really, for people out there who don't know, it's, you know, making a game in the Quake engine is not without a lot of friction, and it's
order
not,
of magnitude.
Yeah, nothing I would recommend. And you know, there's Sprawl, you know, started as a Dark Places thing, and just Quake was just too limiting, so they moved on to I guess Unreal. And yeah. But you know, it was, you know, that conversation really led me to think about, you know, FTE is really still in development, and Dark Places is just kind of all over the place. And you know, I'm sure there are teams right now working on things in Dark Places, and it's not that you couldn't do it. It's just, if you want an active community and you want to actually make a game from the ground up, but using Quake stuff, then FTE is really the only thing you should consider, in my opinion. I mean, that's just from talking to people and seeing other projects. And, you know, there was Top Down Quake recently, and that was FTE, and, you know, there's, I mean, in, you know, if you really know what you're doing, like Kebby, you can, yeah, if you can bring in, you know, models into the Quake engine and do some coding and stuff. But I don't know, you've got to have a huge talent set to make something out of it. And if you're just starting and you want to use that Quake technology, like I say, FTE has got to be the way to go. But anyhow, good to know that you guys are still going to be a team and kind of working in family affair, because you can't really argue with the results you guys have. Like Slayer's Testament, like, correct me if I'm wrong, it's pretty massive, right? I mean you've got a huge community, you've got a ton of fans.
It's like 300, even like just the other day, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's like 300 just on mod database, even just recently, like yesterday, the popularity is still like 350 out of whatever amount, which is pretty good to be 350, ranked 350 in mod database. I think, like, wow, daily. Yeah,
definitely.
And even now, and that's still the tag release. It's like the release we have coming is an order of magnitude greater than even that, because we have all, pretty much all the Doom Eternal monsters, all the missing ones you could think of. They're, because thanks to the custom monster entity, like I made the basic Maker drone. I didn't have to animate it because he's just a floating guy with no arms. He just hovers above the ground. He has no arms of Doom Eternal. I actually got away with making that monster just a model. And he doesn't even have any animations. Nobody notices. But he's used so, and he's used very rarely. So it's like, hey, that's a perfect custom monster custom entity right there. Yeah, we have for our game, I would like both elementals and golems. An elemental is a creature that can be a fluid, like, you know, like magma or water, whereas a golem is more solid, like, you know, rock, ice. And just ideas we're throwing around for our game. And the game is going to be a medieval game, like Heretic Hex, and, you know, kind of like Hands of Necromancy was like that. But it's going to have, it could probably have a little bit more RPG elements, but still got appeal to the first person crowd. Again, we tried Dark Places. We didn't do it. I don't like early versions, which are kind of like dead. We didn't do right. Like, you know how Wrath does it right? It has that visual thing going on.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it's like, we got to do it so it's like reeled back like Wrath does it, and still looks like, doesn't look like too much. How like Dark Places look like too much. Like, we can't have it look like too much. You know, that's not good. There's too much like bland, like real time lighting. Like Dark, it's Quake. It's not meant to be super high res or super this. I think that kind of thing, it's like how like they have the Doom projects that put high res everything into it. If it's not done right, it can look really bad. However, I think one of the good projects, which by the way, Manuel EXE did, was like, you know, he has 3D models in Hexen now.
Nice.
Wrath of Kronos, I think it's called. I should know it because it was called EVL project code name. That actually is a pretty good implementation of, you know, of high res stuff in it, because she has new models made of the Etna stuff. But overall, for the most part, putting new stuff into old games, with a few exceptions, like that project's an exception, usually looks bad. So I'd want the same kind of resolution Quake has for our game, kind of like how Wrath does it.
Yeah, that's a perfect choice. I mean, that's a perfect example of it done really well.
Yeah. Plus, if I had my way, like, you know how I call the thing sacrilege? I couldn't release a game called Sacrilege because, believe it or not, Naughty Dog in 2014 released a thing called Sacrilege that was, you know, it's actually based on a nightclub. It's not even like a Heretic type game. That would be a perfect Heretic name, though. So my idea was, between us, Bloodshot has coded like a sword system, but he hasn't gone anywhere with it, like a sword parry system. We could call it Hackrilege if I... That's name Hackrilege. That would be a name that works.
Wait, should I cut this out of the episode?
If you want to cut it out, you can, yeah.
No, I mean, is it cool for you to say that?
Well, I can say the name Hackrilege because it's not anything official, but if I had a choice, if I decided the name, that's what I would call it at this point. Because I think it's fitting because, you know, more swordplay involved, but it'll be
hack and slash. Instead of rip and tear, you got to hack and slash, right?
Hack and slash until it's done. My whole philosophy of fun is that there's two types of fun, and that they tend to there's like some bridging over, because there's like the slow paced fun, which I call that, which is like making my video game maps, stuff like that. And it bridges over because I try to be more efficient at it and get things done a little bit faster, not sit around twiddling my thumbs or having mappers block, which, by the way, I dream in alternate layouts of where I exit, where I go in real life. So there should be never a reason I pause because I have mappers block. That if I have mappers block, I'm doing it wrong.
Right.
And that leads into my other kind of fun, which is like my actions per second, you know, endorphin run fun. It's like I hit Stairmaster level 20, which is really tough, by the way. I was better at it 10 years ago. I can go 40 minutes now, like more like 20 minutes. And I have to get like two breaks, like a minute break just to breathe.
So you told me you have been getting into competitive laser tag. Is that right? Competitive?
Somewhat, as best as I could. If I'm just going my one center, I can only ever be, it's like Quake. It's like, I could be semi-pro, but I'm not exactly traveling. People can come to me and play at my local center, which is like right down the road. It's great because I've been doing it for 6 years now. And it's like, oh, you, to get your set, all the professional grade equipment's pretty good. And a lot of things that you know from Quake Deathmatch carry over, like, oh, constantly move around, control the map, so to speak, or control the layout. But there's things unique to laser tag, too, that you wouldn't be able to know unless you did it every week, such as, like, oh, if I face sideways, my sensors are harder to hit. Oh, it's not, don't think of it as a gun. I hold my phaser up, like, kind of overhead, more like a sword. Huh. Because the phaser has the sensors on the side, so having that straight. Well, I'm sideways. If I'm facing the person, that's how I'm hardest to hit, because the size of the phaser, I turn it sideways, they hit the side of the phaser and get a tag that way. But I've been doing it so long, it's like, you know, they have – in the center I play, which is called Explorer, used to be Laserland of Long Island. It's called Explorer. It has two floors, which is, by the way, another great reason Stairmaster is great, because I'm like Obi-Wan Anakin, having the high ground is what it's what wins the day. And laser tag was, in fact, inspired by Star Wars. George Carlin III. Forgot the name right. He invented it back in the 80s. He was inspired by old school Star Wars. Like, even before the prequels, like, obviously, because, you know, cool. 80s. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I've looked into it. I found some YouTube channels online about it. It's like, oh, there's like, they have what's called Laser Tag Armageddon, which I haven't done, where the different professional grade systems become, I'm not sure how it works, but they become compatible with one another. It's like, so you can have one brand, another brand of professional grade. It's like if Quake 1 and Quake 3 players were able to play in the same game. That's what it is essentially like. You're like, oh.
Huh.
And though, and just, it's like, it's all Quake, and that's all retro shooter arena FPS deathmatch, but even between that, it's very different. So that's how professional grade laser tag equipment can be too, like the kind you find, like the $2,000, $2,500 vests. Not the stuff you'd buy from the store for like $100, but I'm talking about like the vests you get in laser tag centers. They have a certain feel to them that anything that store bought would lack, and that suddenly, oh, you're good at the professional stuff, but then the other stuff wouldn't feel the same. Like playing it in your backyard, unless you're getting that same equipment the centers use, it's not going to be the same.
that sounds like an awesome hobby, especially because it gets you up and around and you're moving. And it's like,
yeah,
really fun. I don't know how well I would do. I don't even know if we have one out here near me, but
yeah, I'm lucky. I have one like a mile from where I live. That's why I'm able to do it. Like if I wanted, I'm not going to do it this weekend, but every weekend I'll do it like once, maybe twice. So my other thing I like to do is I enjoy going to the beach, and instead of surfing, again, it's like instead of paintball, I laser tag. I like to boogie board instead of surf. Cause one, I'll admit it, I never surf. So I never learned to balance in that way. But the waves I get where I typically go, I get more rides more frequently, which seems to be my whole philosophy, like getting more, you know, done sooner. I could run. I have my boogie board with like the shale interior, whatever, that white thing on the inside. It makes it more supportive. Mm-hmm. I don't have the the baby wrists, I call it, is just, you know, just a loose board, a big boy's board, so to speak. I'll go in, I'll burst through the waves like a football liner. And yes, I wear a wetsuit when I do it. And yes, I do use my shades as goggles, because pro tip, if you use a shoelace, it's better than a goggle strap. It stays in place even better. And you can use it in regular goggles too. So I use a shoelace to keep them in place, like really it tied really tight when I go in the water.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is a good tip. Are there people that don't use wetsuits in the East Coast? Because you guys are – that's the Atlantic, man. That's cold.
It is cold, yeah. In fact, most people that go don't use wetsuits. One, it's good for me because I don't have to worry about having perfect abs or anything, which I do not. So, plus, I found like in the past, I was like, oh, I want to meet people, the wetsuit just in a different situation. Like, say, like beach bar I used to go to. Like, I go out in the water, I have my wetsuit on beach bar, suddenly a conversation piece. But anyways, I still use the wetsuit. I have like rubber shoes I have on, so I don't have to worry about stepping on shells.
Yeah.
So I could just run into the water, go through the first breaker, immediately catch a wave, like turn around and catch it, go out, go towards the shoreline like a torpedo. I'll actually use momentum to stand up as I end the ride. And then I put the board into my right hand. And, you know, in Terminator 2, how he does the shotgun spin thing?
Yeah.
I actually do that. I actually do the one-handed, put it back into position.
Well, so for people that don't know what boogie boarding is, because I'm not sure if everybody knows it is, it's basically similar to surfing, but you're laying on more of a – surfboards are fiberglass, and they're polished really smooth and everything. And then you put wax on the top of it, so you've got a little grip. And then boogie boards are more kind of a I don't know if it's polyethylene or whatever it is, but it's a foam that's molded. So it's a lot softer, and then you can have a core inside. So you lay on the board and catch waves that way. Do you use fins?
I do not. I could if I wanted, but I typically just have the rubber shoes and my wetsuit.
With fins, you really don't want to walk around in the water. You want to float as much as possible. Yeah. So, but I got to say, those are game changers. You should at least try it once.
Definitely, because my shoes got old. Yeah.
One last thing I wanted to ask you. So what do you want to tell people that are kind of new to the hobby and mapping, like new to mapping? Do you have any advice for them? Because you've got so much experience in different areas. What one piece of advice would you give to somebody that's new?
Oh, to never give up, never back down. If you have an idea, go for it. But understand how it works, less so than memorize it. So if you understand like how the editors work, they could just take off running. Also, get inspiration from real life and definitely take breaks from the computer, take breaks from mapping, do other hobbies. Because it's the stuff you do outside and the time away from the computer that is key to, one, life balance, and two, having ideas when you come in and not just twiddling your thumbs with, you know, not having mapper's block or writer's block or anything, really.
That's it for this episode. I want to thank Shades for being such a great guest and a good pal. And he's just an all-around great guy. What a delight to have him on the show. Until next time, this is Dump Truck DS.